religious kibbutzim in Eretz Yisrael, where they have things planted. So they want to have an Erev to be allowed to carry on Shabbos, but they're going to make a gigantic Erev around the whole kibbutz. It's going to be Nizra Rubai. Rave of the area included in the Erev is going to be planted, but not the rock over there. There's going to be a karpif. If it's a karpif, then the Rabbanon are treated like a karmelis, and they're not allowed to carry. So what they do is they make a lot of small Erev. Each Erev is smaller than Beis HaSayim. Beis HaSayim is 50 by 50 Amos. Beis HaSayim, the Chatz HaMishkan, is 50 by 100 Amos. So if you make each Erev exactly Beis HaSayim or smaller, so then even though it's Nizra Kulo, they never were goyzer a karpif if it's so small. So that's what they have. If you're in Shalabim or Kiryat Yavne, one of the yeshivas where they have a kibbutz right nearby, so the erev for Shabbos purposes is a lot of smaller. Have 10 small little erev instead of having one gigantic erev on the whole area. But then you're allowed to carry from one erev to the other because they flow into each other. Panoi Hoyir, the Mishnah has a din. The Mishnayos, we assume, were edited by Rabbi Yehudah Nasi, so the Pashto says it's talking about Eretz Yisrael. The din of Enosin Migrash, or the Migrash Soda, that's only a din in Eretz Yisrael, that doesn't apply to Chutz Loretz al pi Pashtos. And that's a machlekes of Leza and the Chachamim. The Leza holds that it only applies to the Ori Halviyim. That's where it says in the Chumash and the Chacham. We pass on that Chachamim. That's what it says in the Ayin Mishpat Ner Mishpat. Ayin Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. That we pass in the Leker of Leza. We pass in Tanakama. That the din applies to all Ayoris and Eretz Yisrael when Eretz Yisrael is under Jewish control. So we want to make Eretz Yisrael look beautiful. So this beautifies it. So then the Mishnah adds on another din. That's a more discussion. What do you need this din? You're not allowed to plant trees within either 25 amas or 50 amas from the edge of the city. Of course not. It's a din deraisa. So the Gemara says either trees are different from yerokas, okay, on the level of deraisa. You're not allowed to plant yerokas. Not allowed to plant tvua, but to plant trees is mutar. And they showed that it must be on the level of the raisa. There's a difference because midi rabbanon there's a difference regarding karpif. It has to be called the tikkun rabbanon came the raisa tikkun. So that was one suggestion the Gemara gives. So the Gemara said maybe the Mishnah goes like Reb Lezer that the din einoisin migrash sode only applies to the memches ori halvim. It doesn't apply to the rest of the cities in Eretz Yisrael. And the Mishnah is talking about all the other cities. So you have a din of Yofi Ha'ir, not to ruin the city, not to ruin the beauty of the city. Okay. So then how does the Mishnah end off? If the city was there before I planted my tree, then I planted the tree, the Isser, so I have to chop down the tree, and they don't have to, the municipality does not have to reimburse me. And listen, the municipality does not have to reimburse me. However, in Wilan Kodam, if I planted the tree there, and then they found that a city, or the city was always there, but it was much further away, then the city extended, and the city kept on growing bigger and bigger. And now it turns out that the tree that I planted there is now Toch Hamisha Mama, Toch 24 Amos of the city, then it's quite safe, it's very nice and dumb. In either case, you have to chop down the tree. As opposed to the Mishnah later, where is the Mishnah later? Nachamal. Mishnah later is on Dav Chotei on the base, where the Mishnah says, Marchikim is O'ilam in Habor. If not a municipality, my next door neighbor has a bor. So I'm not allowed to plant the tree within 25 amas of the bor because it's going to ruin, the roots will ruin the bor. And if it's charu v'shikma, it's even up until 50 amas, it'll ruin the bor. Fine. What's the din? I went ahead and I did plant a tree. and it is tough 25 amas, so what's the din? Ima bar kotma, if the bar was there before I planted the tree, I planted the tree b'isser, so then it's koitzitz v'nais and domin. I planted the tree b'isser, so I have to chop it down, but my next door neighbor has to reimburse me. Even though I planted a b'isser, I wasn't allowed to do it. But he has to reimburse him. V'im ilon kodam, but if it was planted the heter, lo yokitz, I don't have to chop it down at all. What if it's a sofik zekodim, sofik zekodim? What, so what's the din if you have a sofik and mominus? So sofik and mominus, we learn out from the pasuk hamotz mechavera, all of our eye. Who's considered muhsok? So it says sofik zekodim, sofik zekodim. Lo yokitz, he doesn't have to chop it down. He has his tree there. It's a sofik, what came first, and if the tree was there beheter, then he doesn't have to chop down the tree at all. So he's considered muhsok. Doesn't have to chop it down. Fine. So why is everything different over here? That's the Gemara's question. Nochamol. Here it's about 20 lines down on Chof Dalet on the base. So the Gemara quotes the caption from the Mishnah of him here, Kodma. If the city was there before he planted the tree, Kotzeitz, the Einam is in Domin. If he planted b'yisser, they used to chop down the tree. Many that's not. What if he planted beheter? How does it say in the Mishnah again? Hamir kodma kotzis many that's in domim. Milon kodam. And if the tree was planted beheter, then kotzis many that's in domim. He has to chop down the tree in either event, even though he planted the tree beheter. There was no city there at the time that he planted the tree. But in either event, he has to chop down the tree. Kotzis. And the community has to reimburse him for his tree. What's the din sofik zakonim, sofik zakonim? So the mission says, koitzeitz v'ein anais and dom. So the Gemara comments, why is there a discrepancy between the Mishnah here and the Mishnah on the next daf? Maishna gabi bor, the next Mishnah, where it's me and it didn't torah my next door neighbor, not with the municipality. Maishna gabi bor, diktani koitzeitz v'ein and domim. If what? If he planted it b'yisr, he planted it b'yisr. If he planted beheter, lo yokutz at all. If he planted b'yisr, the Mishnah says on next daf koytzeitz benois and domim o maishna hocha diktani koytzeitz vein and nois and domim. Here, if he planted the tree b'yisr, he has to chop it down, and the municipality does not have to reimburse him. Why is there a discrepancy? So Rav Kana suggests, maybe because of the following consideration. There is a bitgam amami, that's a folks expression, that a kederet debei shutvi loy chamime veloy keriri. When you have, let's say, a group of people share an apartment together. Single boys and share, if you're married, so it's understood that the wife isn't going to cook all the food. It's understood that they alternate, whatever their arrangement was, who cooks the food. But if you have an apartment with a whole bunch of single boys and we never made an agreement, so if you want it to be in the refrigerator, no one's achroi. Let's say when they finish eating, you have to put all the rest of the food back in the refrigerator. So a kederet that's owned by a bunch of shutvim, and you didn't say whose responsibility it is, that every day, so when it's supposed to be cooked, lo chamim, it won't be hot. And when it's supposed to be put in the refrigerator, lo kerir. Because everybody relies on the other guy. No one's going to take care of it. So that's what Rav Kana suggests. Maybe that's the reason why there's a discrepancy. If you planted the tree b'iser, so by the next door neighbor, I have to chop down the tree. I planted it b'iser, but the next door neighbor has to reimburse me. But over here, if I planted the tree b'iser, toch 25 amas for the city, it says, Koitzitz Venus, and the municipality doesn't have to reimburse me. Why? Because till you get the municipality to do something, it may take forever. Because it's a Gedera de Beshut for Lochamim of Loikerbiri. And therefore, if you'll say that Koitzitz Venus and Domim, then the fellow's never going to chop down the tree. So he's going to wait till the municipality will reimburse him. And meanwhile, the tree will be there to ruin the beauty of the city for months and months, possibly even years and years. That's Rav Kana said. That's the reason why there's a discrepancy. So the Gemara says, why do you have to come up with such an explanation? My kusha, what's the whole question in the first place? Maybe it's a different difference. Dil Mashani Hazeka Dirami Hazeka Diyachid. Here, planting a tree within 25 amas of the city is ruining the beauty of the whole municipality. That's called the Hazeka Dirabi. Planting a tree within 25 amas of my next door neighbor, my Shochim's boer, is a Hazeka Diyachid. So Hazeka Diyachid, the din is, I have to chop down the tree, but he has to reimburse me. Hazeka Dirabim have a right to say Hefker Bez Nehefker. Not only Hefker Bez Nehefker, it says in Shulchan Aruch and Simon Beis and Chosh and Mishpat that the Zion Tuliho Ir, years ago, there used to a point, it was common that the board of directors of the Kehillah had 7 members. Here in Breuers, they still have Zion Tuliho Ir. Their board of directors every year or two, they have elections who should be members of the board. So they always have Zion Tuliho Ir, like they had in the days of the Gemara. So it says that just like the government has the right to be mafka someone's property, melech birds gather, they mamkin biyodoi, so too the hefker bez nehefker. Hefker bez nehefker is to maintain law and order. They have the right to be mafka. Just like, it's not b'toras bezden. It's bezden, that's what the Rishonim point is at the beginning of Sanhedrin. And the first Truman in the Dvar Avraham has a long essay on this, goes on and on for 10 pages long. He quotes the Rishonim in the beginning of Sanhedrin that the din of Hefker Bezen, Hefker is not Bikoyach Bezen. It's that when the government is not taking care of things, then the Bezen has to act as if they're the government. And then the Bezen has the right to be Mafke. But the root of the right of the Bezen to be Mafke is really din of the Machus Adina. It starts with din of the Machus. The government has the right to be Mafke Mamen if they see it's Letoivus HaKlal. So it says in the Chosh Mishpat, in the Simon Beis, in the beginning of Chosh Mishpat, Zayin Tulihu Ir have that authority. They have the authority to be mafka someone's moment if they're doing L'Shem Shamayim, they're doing L'Tzorchei Ho'ir. So the Gemara says, what do you have to come on to this new Svar of Kedera de Beishut V'Lachamimi? That's true, that is correct, but over here you don't need that Svar. My Kusha, Dilmashani Hazek Dram Zeka Diyochet. If there's Hazeka de Rabim, then you have to chop down the tree. We're not going to reimburse you. But if it's Hazeka Diyochid, then you do have to reimburse. Maybe Hazeka Derabim, designed to hear, a mafkir, mikir adin, there should have been a chiv to reimburse me. But they canceled the chiv. Hefke bezna hefke. So the Gemara says, no, but you need that svara of Rav Kana, kedera de beshut v'lachamni. I'm going to explain, there's a different contradiction. So the Gemara says, Eli yitma de Rav Kana, asef yitma. If Rav Kana commented on this Mishnah, on our daf, using that pitgam amami, that expression, kedera de beshutvi, he made the comment on a different line in the Mishnah. A sefer itma that what? Mu'il and kodam, if the tree was planted beheter, so by the Mishnah, dafchav hey on the base, if the tree was planted beheter, lo yokutz, you don't chop it down at all. Here, if the tree, even if the tree was planted beheter, and then the city extended, or they founded a city. He planted a tree 100 years ago, and then they found a city nearby. He planted Legamri Beheter. Still, he has to chop down the tree, but however, they have to reimburse him. So that's what Rav Kana came to answer a different discrepancy. So the Itmar, Rav Kana, Seif Itmar, Lilim Kodam, if the tree was planted Beheter, Koitzei, Tzvinos, and Domim, over here, by the Tzibur. So the Gemara raised the question, why is Kotzitz first? And then Nois and Domin, Velein Balahu, why can't the fellow who planted his tree Beheta tie it to the municipality, Hovali Beresha, Dmei, Vahadar Ekutz? Why can't he ask them, I planted the tree Beheta, you reimburse me first, and then I'll be happy to chop down the tree. Because when you don't reimburse me, he doesn't want to pay. The Gemara says, I'm Afkarik, there, the Beshut, Lachamim, Lachamim, we want to beautify the city. And if you're going to say, whoever planted a tree better has a right to leave it till the municipality reimburses him, it may take forever till they're going to reimburse him. So much red tape, and everybody has to approve it. So therefore, we don't insist that the community has to pay in advance. Therefore, we say, first he chops it down, and then they'll reimburse him. Okay. Then the Gemara continues. Sofik Zakadam, Sofik Zakadam. If it's a Sofik, nobody remembers the history over here. Whether the city was there and the tree was planted by Issa Toch 25 Amos, or the tree was planted by Heter and then the city extended to there. So So the Mishnah says, whenever there's a suffix, Koitz is Venus and Dom. He has to chop down the tree, and they don't have to reimburse him. So Mari asked, here's also a discrepancy. How come Achofem and Beis, Mishnah be Bor when it's the next door neighbor? My tree is Mazik, the next door neighbor is Bor. The Amrit, the Mishnah says, whenever the suffix are called him, suffix are called Dom, Lo Yakutz, you don't chop down at all. How come over here you do chop down? Just they don't reimburse whenever it's a suffix. The Gemara said the answer is simple. Hasam and Daf Chavim Beis. Even if it's Vadai, if it would be Vadai that the tree was planted better, the Vadai Lav Lamekatskoi. If it's Vadai, if it would be clear that the tree was planted better before the fellow made his bor, then the din is he doesn't have to chop down the tree at all. So therefore, Sveika Nami Le Armina Le Kotz. If there's a suffix akodim, suffix akodim. So the Baal Ha'ilan is muchsok, he has his tree there. He's muchsok, so the din is whenever you have a suffix mammon, amotzim achaber olifar ad v'hocho. In this case, in our case over here, that even if he planted the tree beheta, he still have to be koitz, it's a tree. The only difference between planting the tree beheta, planting the isa, tuch 25 amos of the city is, whether the municipality has to reimburse him or not. Bahocha, even if it's a vada that the tree preceded, the vada lebekatskoi, so svekanam yamin lekots, even if it's a vada that the tree is there behet, bekovakoi you have to chop down. So we say chop down the tree, then the shayla of reimbursing, so now the kehillah is muchsav, so the kehillah doesn't have to pay. Dimishum demei, what about paying? I mean, lay, I say rayushko. So that's the shayla, how do you read this gemara? So the in Shulchan Aruch, the beginning of Chavishim Ishba, they quote the Mordechai. Oh, this Gemara doesn't have a Mordechai. I forgot already. So if you look in the last page, in the Mordechai, the last page on Perek Lo Yachbor, so he says, whenever there's a dispute between an individual member of the Kehillah and the Kehillah regarding paying taxes, so there are those who wanted to bring a raya from this Mishnah that the Kehillah is always considered the Muchsak. What's the svara? Why should the kehillah be considered the muchsok? Because the zayin tovi ho'ir, if they choose to, have the right to say hefker bez nehefker, like din in the machusa, zayin tovi ho'ir are the government. So they have a right to be mafke someone's mammon. So they're really in control of everybody's mammon. So they're really muchsok on everything. So whatever there's a suffix, whether an individual person has to pay some kind of a tax or not, you say the kehillah is always considered muchsok. The money is in my pocket. No, since the kehillah at the Zayin Tovi have the ability to be mafka my moment, they have the right to declare hefker bez nehefker din and machus adina. Therefore, the kehillah is always considered muchsam. So the Mordechai says there were those who shine him who brought that raya from this mishnah. The kehillah is always muchsam. Boshib shat and the gemara is not like that. Boshib shat is totally not like that. The gemara didn't mean to say that kehillah is muchsam. You're being done on two different things. You're being done, am I mechuyev to chop down the tree? Say, if it's the case on Chofeim Beis that the tree was planted toch 25 amas of the next neighbor's bor. So if the tree was planted, I don't have to lo yokutz at all. If the tree is planted, it's a yokutz. So if it's suffix akadim, you're not sure. So ain't a kaitzit, because the one who has the tree is muchzakadim. But over here, there's no din Torah on even if the tree was planted before the city existed. City was founded after the tree was planted. So it's planted after. Still the din is yokutz. You have to chop it down. So that's not under question. So you can't say the one who has it, if it's suffix akodam, yokutz anyway. Because Ben Kovakol, you have to chop down, even if he planted a beheta. The only difference between planting beheta, planting this, is whether the municipality has to be to reimburse him or not. So the reimbursement, so that the municipality is the muchsak on that. It's a totally different reason. It's not because the kehillah is always muchsak against the yochid. No. In this case, the kehillah is muchsak, because no suffix whether you have to chop down the tree. Even if the tree was planted beheta gomer, and then the city was founded afterwards, years later. Still yokutz, that's what the Mishnah said. The only, so there's no din Torah about chopping it down. All din Torah is only on reimbursing him. So reimbursing him, so the money is in the pocket of the muchzak, is the kehillah in that case. But if there's a suffix, whether an individual has to pay taxes, why should he? How do you see for this Mishnah that tequila is always considered muksa? Very questionable. But in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote that Mordechai la'alocha, that tequila is always considered muksa. It doesn't really say it in the Gemara. Okay, that's Nagel la'alocha. I can understand why there should be, because they have the ability to be mafkir, so therefore it's Muxak means Bushusai, so they have control over everything. Okay. So these dinim, what's the gist of all the Mishnais? We didn't go through these Mishnais. So you have to be concerned about drilling. If you're gonna be drilling too close to the next door neighbor's bore, or too close to the next door neighbor's kaisel, then you're gonna shake up the whole earth and you may ruin his bor or his kaisel. Then there's a concern if you're gonna have a big container full of water, a well full of water, a ditch full of water, then the water is going to seep in and ruin the kaisel, or it'll ruin the next door neighbor's bor. Okay, so masunto means liquid. Or if you have noise, we had the Mishnah, if you're malamatinoikas, it depends what you're teaching. Are you teaching refuah, mathematics, or physics, or kriya? You're teaching them how to read English, how to read Chinese. So that you have no right to make a school in your backyard, because you're going to make such a big noise. The neighbor's container, he can't sleep. But if it's for the purpose of Talmud Torah, so then the Gemara said that's the takana, that you have no right to complain. But the Rishibudim, the neighbors have to each other not to be mazik each other with anything, not to be mazik each other with too much liquid, with heat, havla, or with noise. So now the Mishnah has another thing, they're not allowed to be mazik each other with a bad reakra. That's the Mishnah Chofeim Aral. Marchikim is Hanevelis, Vesakvoris, a cemetery. Vesaburski, a tannery smells awful. Minhuir Hamishamama. So Rashi explains, because of Mifnei Mishum Rechra, that's also a form of being mazik to people. On the four sides of the city, north, east, south, west, you can only have a tannery to the east of the city. Why can't you have it to the west of the city? What's wrong? So the Pashta says, because the wind, whenever they tell you what's in store on the weather, they always tell it was just snowing in Pennsylvania, so tomorrow it's going to snow in New York. It was just raining in Pennsylvania. So the weather goes from west to east. So everything goes from west to east. So the smell, the Reach Ra, is going to go also from west to east. Everything goes from west to east. So that's the Pashtus. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. Is that what it means? Rabbi Akiva Omer, L'chol ruach o'isa chutz mimarava. You can have a tannery north, east, south, but you can't have marava. Umarchik chamishim amu. So the Gemara is not sure. Umar has a boilu. Rabbi Akiva hechikama. What did Rabbi Akiva say? L'chol ruach o'isa b'samech chutz mimarava de marchik nun amu. The other, northeast, south, you can have a tannery right outside of the city. You don't have to be marchik at all. And only on the west side you have to be marchik, because the smell will come in from the wind. You have to be marchik 50 amas. Is that how you read the Mishnah? If you want to put a tannery northeast, south, you have to move it. You have to have the tannery at the minimum of 50 amas away. On the western side, you're not allowed to make it at all. Masa Toshma says Beferish like that. Western side, I know it's a Kalika. Not allowed to do it. So what's the reason why the west is worse? So the simple reason why, because the weather, the wind always blows from the west to the east, so it's going to carry the smell from the west to the east. So the Gemara quotes the Brice, Chutz mi marav deino isa Kalika vampnei shehi tadira. Because what it means tadira? Omle Rabbi Rab Nachman, what is that expression in my tadira? If you're going to tell me what it means to dira barucha, is that the bad smell is going to go from the west to the east, that the earth is twirling on its axis, and because it's twirling, that's why the wind is going to go from the west to the east. So Frag the Gemara, how can that be? The wind only goes from the west to the east. There are dalad ruchas, northeast, southwest. Dalad ruchas are always, they're all blowing in all direction all day long. Om Rav Chana Barab, Om Rav, Abba ruchas, Menashoes, Bechol Yom. There are four directions, northeast, southwest. The winds will always be blowing all day long. Ruch Tzifon is im kulam. Shel Molekein, if the Ruch Tzifon is wouldn't be mitigating the other Rucha is en ol miskayam filu shoachas from the ruach deraitis. Ruach deraitis is kashem mikulam. That's the most difficult one. So the Gemara says, so how do you say that the western ruach is tadira? Here it says faker. All the ruchas are blowing at the same time. It doesn't say that the west is a bigger problem than the others. Gemara says no. Gemara says, what does it mean? Neishi tadira. In other miskayim, yafilu shachas. Ruach Torah miskayim mikulam. V'molei benet shemamido. Machrevis is oilem shenema. Okay. Alamai tadira, tadira b'shechina. So now the Gemara starts a whole new discussion. Where is the shechina? In what direction is shechina? What does it mean, the shechina? V'loich ol ha'aretz kevaydoi. What do you mean, the shechina? I mean, when we visualize in literature, when we like we say the pasuk says in the Mishlei, Lev Chacham Limina veLev Ksil Lismola. The Chachman comes from the right side of the heart, and the foolishness, the Ksil, the Yetzirah, comes from the left side. That's a literary expression. It's not necessarily to be taken literally that all the Chacham comes on the right, all the Yetzirah is on the right side of the heart. That's a literary expression. So over here also, speaking in a literary fashion, where would you say the Shechina? Shechina is all over. The Rebbe Shlom is wherever. He's Lamalam and Amakam, Lamalam and Azman. He can be anywhere. What does it mean? It means in a literary fashion of fancy literature, where would you say the Shechina is? Ma'inav Kamina, when you damage my Nasrei, which direction should you face? So we don't follow anything on this daf, Tosfos says. Tosfos, L'chol Ruchsa Ukman. More quotes, Rav Sheshes was a Sagi Nohar. So he used to always go with a Gabbai. So he says, when it's time for Damish Man Esrei, I won't be able to figure out which way is to face Man Esrei. So he tells his Gabbai, you can have me face any direction you want, but the Shechina is all over, except for the east. We only daven facing the east. So he said, except for the east. Yeah, but he lived in Babel. So if he's going to face east, he's going to be facing Russia. He's going to be facing Manchuria. So it's good that he doesn't face east. The Gemara says, why did, if Shechina is all over, so why can't he face east? What does he have again? The Shechina is only north, south, and west. There's no Shechina in the east. No, Shechina is all over. The Gemara said, the reason why he didn't want to the east, Lam Shem Deleis Be Shechina here, 8-9 lines from the bottom. Omele Rav Sheshes L'shama, he told his Gabbai, L'chol Ruchsa Oikman, when you have me stand up in order to say Shemon Esra, I won't know which way is northeast. So see to it that I can face any direction. I will agree to daven facing any direction except from Israel. Ukman, l'chol ruchsa ukman, and any direction, any ruach, have me stand up and say Shemon Esrei except for the east. Lam mishum daleis b'shchin, the shchin is all over. Elo mishum what? Temoru bo amine. The minim, the apikursim. Some say that the Minim were the original Christians, that the Minim is a Rashi Teves Pekat Yeshua Nazri, from the original Christians. Very often in the Gemara, the Minim refers to the original, the first generation of Christians. So he says, because the Minim, the Apikursim, were the Christians, or whoever they're referring to, they would always insist when they pray to their Avodah Zarah, so they have to face east. So I don't want to do that. I don't want it to look as if I joined the Kata Minim. So there's one opinion that you can face Shemon Esrei any direction you want, unless you have an issue with the Minim. Another opinion is, like it says in Brachas Daf Lamed, that's what we follow, the other opinion, that Shlomo HaMelech said, offered a tefillah when he completed the building of the first Beis HaMikdash, and he said three things in his tefillah. He said, I built the Beis HaMikdash to be a place, a makom tefillah, that everyone should come and pray here, the Jews and the non-Jews alike. If the non-Jews come, they want to pray to Oso Ish, we don't allow them. But if they want to pray to the God of the Jewish people, want to come to a Jewish shul, want to come to a Beis HaMikdash, you do allow them to come and pray to Elokei Yisrael. That is permissible. That's not a problem. So Shlomo HaMelech made three statements. He says, the people should face the Beis HaMikdash. You should face Yerushalayim. And then he says, the Jewish people should face Eretz Yisrael when they daven. So Gemara says, which is it? Gemara says, it depends where you're davening. If you're davening in Chutz Lords, then you should face Eretz Yisrael. You don't have to face Yerushalayim. Let's say I'm davening in Chutz Lords, and all I have to do is turn, and I'm facing Eretz Yisrael. But that's not the direction of Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is in that direction. Not mechuyev to face Beis HaMikdash. I have to mechuyev to face Eretz Yisrael. As long as I'm facing Eretz Yisrael, it's okay. What if I am in Eretz Yisrael? Then I should, preferably, then you should face Yerushalayim. And if he is in Yerushalayim, then he should face the Makam HaMikdash. Then he should face, that's how you interpret the three psukim in Sefer Melachim by Tfilas Shlomo HaMelech. Tfilas Shlomo appears in Melachim and it appears also in Dibra Yomim. With slight discrepancies, slight differences between the two. But basically it says the same thing. And he said three times, Ispala Lecha Derech Habayis Hazeh, Ispala Lecha Derech HaYir Hazeh, Ispala Lecha Derech Haritzam. All three say there. Then there's one opinion on Shechina B'mayrov. What does that mean, Shechina B'mayrov? It's all literary allusions. What does it mean, Shechina B'mayrov? So I think Rav Soloveitchik has a published essay where he suggests that the Tanoim knew that the Western culture is going to be the way of the future. The West is America. The East is Russia. The Eastern Hemisphere, whenever you have a globe, there are two hemispheres. There's an upper hemisphere and a lower hemisphere. Or you can divide the Western Hemisphere and the Eastern Hemisphere. So we usually divide it politically. That the Eastern Hemisphere is Russia, the Western Hemisphere is America. The free countries are the countries that are behind the Iron Curtain and so on. So it could well be that it means Shechina B'mayrav, the advancement of civilization and culture, all the advancements were to the west of Eretz Yisrael. So maybe that's what it means, that Shechina B'mayrav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is there helping man advance in technology, in physics, chemistry, in medicine, biology, all the advancements represent the fact that the Shechina is helping them. That's the suggestion. Anyway, so that's what that says. We don't pass like the whole sukkah, we pass like the Gemara and Brochus. There in Brochus, there is a machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos. Let's say there's a shul, and then the shul has an Aron Kodesh over here. So everybody in the shul is davening facing that direction. What if someone is davening outside? He came late and he can't come into the shul. So he's davening Shmoneh Esrei over here. What direction should he face? So Tosfos says he should face the whole everybody in the shul is facing that direction. That's where Eretz Yisrael is. He should face the same direction. If everybody in the shul is going to be facing this direction, he's going to be facing the opposite direction. It looks as if they believe in two different deities, that they're facing this direction and the guy outside davening in front of the Aron Kodesh facing this direction. And Rashi holds not so. Rashi holds that the din is you have to face the Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the people in the shul should face the Aron Kodesh, and the people outside should also face the Aron Kodesh. And they're facing each other, opposite direction, facing each other. So that's, or that'll happen afkamina. Let's say you have a shul, and they put the Aron Kodesh, like downstairs, they put the Aron Kodesh. That's not where Mizrach is. Mizrach is a little bit to the left. That's not the when you face the Harlem River, it's not the east. It's southeast. When you Davish Manasre facing the direction where the Aron Kodesh is, that says you're really praying facing Johannesburg. The Shechina is not in Johannesburg, South Africa. Shechina is in Eretz Yisrael. So that's a discussion in Poskim. If they put the Aron Kodesh in the wrong direction, what direction should you face? According to Rashi and Brochus and Davov, Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos and Brochus Davov, So Rashi holds you always have to face the Aron Kodesh. So if they put it on the wrong direction, you should face the Aron Kodesh. And we really don't pass like Rashi. We really assume like Tosfos that you're not supposed to face the Aron Kodesh. More correct is they should put the Aron Kodesh in the direction where everybody's going to doubt. But if they didn't do that, then you're supposed to, according to Tosfos, you're supposed to face Eretz Yisrael. No, then you're supposed to face the Aron Kodesh. Unless all the people are davening in one direction, this guy's going to come. Like that was a Maaser Shehoya once, Rabbi Gorin was always very colorful. Everything by him was very colorful. He was very entertaining. So he was a big Talmid Chacham also, but he was very colorful. So he once came, the Rabbinical Council of America used to have that. They used to have their conferences in the hotels in the mountains. In the Pioneer or the Pine View, usually. And then later years, they used to have an Amawak. So, and every year, Rabbi Soloveitchik would always be the main speaker. He would always give a shir, or a drasha. He would always speak. So once Rabbi Gorin, when he was the chief rabbi, he visited America, and he went to the RCA convention. So after Rabbi Soloveitchik shir was over, so the old davin and the mincha, they were all facing whatever direction. He gave the shir in the shul. So they were facing the direction of the Aron Kodesh. So Rabbi Gorin came with his compass, and it turned out that it was a totally different direction. So everybody was davening facing one direction, and he was davening facing the other direction. But that says in the Noisei Kedem on Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't do that. Unless you're the rabbi, and you're trying to show the balabatim that they're supposed to face the other direction. But if it's if everybody's facing the wrong direction, you face that direction. I remember I used to give a shir every week in Paramus, and one of the balabatim there. So there was one fellow who was Musma from the yeshiva. He was in business later. He didn't go into the rabbinate. So he used to attend the shir every week. And he had gotten smicha. So he had served in the chaplaincy in Morocco. I don't know, I don't think the Second World War. He wasn't old enough to be in the Second World War. Maybe there was no war. He was in Morocco, he says. So he said in Casablanca, he was stationed in Casablanca. So he said, he remembers that there was a shul there, that everybody, when they daven, when they sat in the shul, they faced the Aron Kodesh. Then when it came time to say Shemana Esrei, the whole shul turned to 90 degree angle, and they faced the door. They faced Eretz Yisrael, which was not the same direction as the Aron Kodesh. So remember when I was touring, around 10 years ago or so, when we were touring in Morocco, so we were sitting in one of the shuls, and I guess the tour guide, is it true that there's a shul here where it comes to Shmones, everybody turns to the side? Yeah, that's the shul that we're sitting in. He said, when it comes to Shmones, everybody turns to the side and they face Eretz Yisrael. They don't face the Aron Kodesh. That's the psak of Tosfos. Mishnah Berurah is not sure how you should paskin. He doesn't even quote that it's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. And the Bir Alofen, he doesn't quote the Rashi and Tosfos. But it is, it's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi holds, you always face the Aron Kodesh. Aron Kodesh represents the Shechina. And Tosfos says you don't. More correct is you should put the Aron Kodesh in the direction where everybody's going to daven. But the din is that you have to daven facing Eretz Yisrael because of that Gemara in Brochas Daf Lamed, where they quoted the psukim from Tfilah Shloima. What do they say now? So the Gemara says, "Tzdira b'shchina." What koshchina is b'mar? Don't ram shemalev. Both nafsik toiv alav esenu. We should express our gratitude to our forefathers, our ancestors. Shehodiyuno, they notified us. Welcome tefila. They told us in the Tanakh. They told us we should daven facing west because the shchina is b'mar. Where did they tell us in Tanakh that the shchina is b'mar? Because it says, all the stars are moving towards the west as if they're bowing to the Shekhinah. As if the Shekhinah is the west and they're bowing to the west. So based on that pasuk, that's how he came up with this idea that Shekhinah maskel Rabbah by Yaakov, Rabbah by Yaakov, who says that's what it means, that they're all bowing to the west because we visualize as if the Shekhinah is in the west. With Dilma, Kevich, and Otto Prasmer Rabbi, maybe the Shekhinah is really in the east, but the stars step back from being with the Shekhinah in the east, and then they bowing, but maybe they're not bowing to the west. Maybe they're really bowing to the east. So Gemara says it's a good kasha. How do you prove anything from that pasuk? So Gemara says kasha. Doesn't say tiufta. Tiufta means upgifek. Kasha means a good kasha, but there's a good answer. One of the Sfarish Gedolim wrote a whole sefer, Kashas Miyushov. Whenever the Gemara says kasha, so he tells you what the teretz is. That's later on. There's a Rashbam in Perek Cheskes Habatim where he quotes the Shaila. Is kasha the same as tiufta? There is theorists and taisvists and different mesichtas. We usually assume that kasha not the same as tiufta. Kasha means there's a good kasha and there's a good answer. And tiufta means upgefrek, that he made a mistake, the Amora made a mistake. So here, the Gemara says kasha, we assume that there's a teretz on the kasha. So the first shita, the Shechina B'mayrav, still retains his opinion, didn't back out. Rabbi Oshia thinks, Shechina B'chamokam Dom Rabbi Oshia Maidach Ziv, Ato Hashem Lovatcha, Asher Asisos, Asher Maim B'gomer. Yeah, what does it mean? When a Baruch Shalom sends a shliach, whenever a person sends a shliach, the Gemara in Gitna has an expression, B'chazru shliach is etzal apal. After the shliach, let's say he sent the shliach to deliver a get. So normally the shliach would come back to the husband and give him a report. I delivered the get. Or let's say I asked the shliach to deliver a package to someone else. He's going to come back, either call me on the phone, now that we have phones, or he's going to come and notify me, B'chazru shliach is etzal apal. Go back to the mishalech and tell him, Asisi shliach is secha. Here, the Ribbono Shel Olam sends the rain, and he sends the snow, and he sends the wind, and everything. And they don't have to come back and tell. They don't have to come back to the place where they began their shlichas to tell the Shechina Asinu Shlichas Secha. When they go and they do the shlichas, their Shechina is all over. So they can tell the Shechina where they are in a new location Asinu Shlichas Secha. So that's the difference between Shluchei Basav Adam and Shluchei Amokam. Shluchei Basav Adam Amokam Shem Mishtalchem. Whenever the shlichas. Wherever the location is, where their shlichas began, where their mishalech appointed them, they have to go back to the mishalech and tell them, "Asisi shlichas secha, chazav shlichas etzal abal." Hasheni came, "Ashluchei amakim." They don't have to go back to the original place. They can do the shlichas and tell the shechina there. Because shechina is b'chamak. Tell the shechina there that they took care of the shlichas. Alamas hashechina b'chol makim. Yeah. Then Rabbi Shmuel also says Shechina B'chol Mokom. He has a different pasuk. Fine. Rav Sheshes saw Shechina B'chol Mokom. Sheshes was a sagi nohar. He was blind. Tom le Rav Sheshes l'shama. He told this guy by l'chol ruchsa ukman, get me to stand up when it's time to say Shema Nesa. I won't know what direction is northeast, southwest. You can have me face in any direction, not. If I care from all the people in the community, if everybody in the shul is davening one direction, he's going to daven the same direction. He's davening beichidus. Or he says, I don't care what direction, whatever direction everybody else is davening, I'll be prepared to daven. But I don't want to face Mizrach. Lo mishum deleis beishchina. Not that there's no shchina in the Mizrach. Shchina is all over. El mishum the morah b'amina. The apikursim, the Christians, are going to insist dafke on facing Mizrach. Rabbi Bo goes back to the first sheet, Yehoz HaShechina B'mayrav. How does he know? Sure. Okay. Then the Gemara has a strange machlekes on the last line, Tanya, machlekes of Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Lezer says, Ha'el Mazeh is Daimela Achsedra. What is an Achsedra? So Tesis in the first parak, well, they had a machlekes, but Rashi and Eredim. Tesis quoted that Rashi and Eredim. Where was that? I forgot already. Rashi and Ervin understood that Achsedra is an area where there's a gazebo, where there's a roof, and there are no walls at all. Achsedra is where there's a roof and there are no walls at all. And Tosis says that it's not correct. And they quote this Gemara on Chofeim Beis, the top line. Achsedra means it has a roof and three walls. It's missing the fourth wall. So that's this Gemara that Reb Lezer, the Tanna Reb Lezer, holds, Olam HaZeh Damel Achsedra, is similar to the Gemara in Menachos, what the Gemara says there, ki b'koh Hashem tzura ilamim, that ha'olam hazeh was created behei, and ha'olam haba was created beyud. Ha'olam hazeh is daim alahei, that only has three walls, and is missing a fourth wall. Well, what wall is missing in ha'olam hazeh? So that's what Rav Lezer says. Ruach Tzvoinus ain't in the Shulveres. There's no wall on the Ruach Tzvoinus. How did he come up with this Einfall? What is he talking about? Because at night, the sun disappears and it comes back in the morning from the same location where it was yesterday. So they understood that the sun goes around the earth. We understand today otherwise, that the earth goes around the sun. And the fact that the sun rises and sets and everything, that's because the earth is twirling on its axis. That's why the sunrise and sunset is not that the sun is going around the earth. The earth is going around the sun, that makes all the different seasons. The sun is twirling on it. The earth is twirling on its axis, that makes the sun rise and set. But somehow they understood, we assume incorrectly, they understood that that when the sun comes to the west and it sets, it means that it went somewhere out of the sphere, we can't see it. It went back to where it came from originally and is ready to come back tomorrow morning again. Okay. Doesn't correspond. Today we assume it doesn't correspond to reality. So that is Reb Lezer. He says, Olam Hazeh Demelach Sedru. The Gemara says there, the Olam Abba is like a Yud. Olam Hazeh is like a Hey. A Hey is open on one side. So somehow the north is missing. There's no border on the north, whatever that means. And Olam Abba is Demel Yud. It's the smallest letter. There aren't too many people, so you don't need such a big room. In Olam Abba. Gehenim is going to be probably gigantic, and Olam Haba is going to be very small. There aren't so many people going to Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael Yeshem L'chaluk Olam Haba, except for there are more exceptions than people who fall into the rule. So that's what the Gemara says. Olam Haba, Yud is the smallest letter in Ksav Ashuris. So that's why Olam Haba is Nivra B'Yud. Olam Hazeh is Nivra B'Hei. That's missing one side. Rabbi Shua disagrees on this, and he says, "Olam lekuva hu daima." It's like a tent. Tent has walls on all four sides, and it has a roof also. What's with the sun? We don't see the sun when it's going around. Somehow it hides. Okay. Then the Gemara has an interesting comment. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, 1, 2, 3, the fifth line and the wide lines. The line begins, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, a reitzah sheyachkim, if a person wants to add a tefillah in the Shemoneh Esrei, he wants to be matzliach in Chochmah. So he should be yadrin, he should face south. The sheyashir, if he wants to get rich, yatzpin, he should face north. Why? We see mancha, because in the Beis HaMikdash, when you're looking straight ahead to the Heichal, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're facing west, not like by us, that we, by us, the Shul's always faced east, because Eretz Yisrael is to the east of America. When you daven in Russia, you have to face south, because Eretz Yisrael is to the south of Russia. You daven in China, you have to face west, because Eretz Yisrael is to the west of China. But most of the Jews lived to the west of Yerushalayim, so that's why most of the Jews daven facing east. So in the Beis HaMikdash is standing facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim, facing the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's west. So if that's west, then to the left is going to be Dorim, and the Menorah is B'Dorim. How come by us in the Shuls they put the Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? The Menorah is on the left side. In the Heichal. How come by us to put the Menorah on the right side? Because our shuls are facing Mizrach. We're not facing Ma'ariv. In the Beis HaMikdash, where the Beis HaMikdash is facing Ma'ariv, so on the left side is Dorim. But in the shul by us, that when you're looking straight ahead to the Aron Kodesh, that's Mizrach. So if that's Mizrach, then south is going to be on the right side. And the Beis HaMikdash, the Menorah, was in the south. So the menorah represents the seven chachmas. So the Gemara says, if a person wants to add tefillah, so he should be matzliach retzu sheyachgim yadrim. He should face the south. We see moncha shulchan bitzofen u'menorah bedorim. The menorah in the Beis Hamikdash was on the left side by us, on the right side, because it has to be on the dorim side. And the shulchan represents Ashiris. So I wrote says sheyashir yatzvet, he should face north. I remember many years ago, something like more than 60 years ago, there used to be a Talmud Chacham, I was a rabbi in Richmond, Virginia. His name is Rabbi Lieberman. I think his son used to teach in Yula, if I'm not mistaken. He learned in Miri Yeshiva in Brooklyn. So he was from the south. So at that time, the wealthy plantation owners lived, the wealthy people lived in the south. They all owned plantations. And all the universities were in the north. So he said, this Rabbi Lieberman used to say, the Gemara, everything is backwards today. That the Herotzu Sheyashir should face south, because that's where all the rich plantation owners live. And Herotzu Sheyachim, all the big universities are in the north. But the Gemara has, based on the Mignush, that the Shulchan represents, Shulchan Melochim represents Ashiris, and the Beis HaMikdash, the Shulchan was on the northern side. So Herotzu Sheyashir should face north. In Europe, there were communities, I think in Hungary, they write this, where the practice would be, the Aron Kodesh would be facing the Mizrach, straight ahead, and the rabbi would sit to the left of the Aron Kodesh on this side, and the president of the Shul would sit to the right. Why? Because the rabbi wants to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should get more chachmah. So the Gemara says, everybody's facing the Mizrach, but the Gemara says, the mitzadeh that's dudeh, the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara says later. For her Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Omar Shechina ben Marav, he is supposed to face either Marav, we always face the Beis HaMikdash, of the Gemara, the Mitzadeh that's Zudeh. So the rabbi wants to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should gain more Chochmah. So he's facing Mizrach like everybody else in the Shul, but if he's going to tilt a little bit towards the Aron Kodesh, it does make sense, he should tilt away from the Aron Kodesh, he should tilt a little bit towards the Aron Kodesh, so then he's tilting to the south, because this is east, so that's the south. And it wrote says Yachkim Yadrim, because the menorah was Bedorim, and the Shul, the menorah is also Bedorim. And the Rosh HaKol is usually a wealthy businessman, and he wants the daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should get wealthier. Yishesh Lamana Rotsim Asayim, he's wealthy, he wants to be wealthier. So they used to have the rabbi in the community would sit to the left on the Aron Kodesh, he would be mitzadeh atzdudeh, instead of facing straight ahead like everybody else, he would tilt a little bit to the Aron Kodesh. And the Rosh HaKol, who was a wealthy balabas, with daven on the right side of the Aron Kodesh, facing the Aron Kodesh a little bit, mitzadeh atzdudeh. So he's facing a little bit the tzofen. And the tzofen, that's where the shulchan was in the basin. That's where the, again, and Tzofen is where the Shulchan was, and the Beis HaMikdash, the Shulchan was on the right side, but because the right side was Tzofen, but in the Shuls, the Tzofen is on the other side, because you're facing Mizrach. So the Rosh HaKol, who wants the daven, they should have Hatzlocha in getting wealthier, so he would face the Aron Kodesh a little bit. They had this, I think, the Hungarian Achreinim, the Hungarians write like that. But that was the practice in the shuls. The rabbi would sit to the left in Aron Kodesh, the Rosh HaKol would sit to the right. And Broi is the Hefakeret. The rabbi sits, Rabbi Broi always sat to the right of the Aron Kodesh. And then when Rabbi Schwab was the assistant rabbi, so Rabbi Broi sat to the right of the Aron Kodesh, Rabbi Schwab sat to the left. After Rabbi Broi passed away, then Rabbi Schwab moved to sit on the right side of the Aron Kodesh. The Rabbanim always daven on the right side. Now, the new rabbi now doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so he davens on the left side. But their meaning always was that the rabbi sits on the right side of the Aron Kodesh, not the left. They'll be hugging on everything. Okay. I'm not sure exactly how we should proceed here. It's a lot of Gemara that's not too relevant for us. I'm not sure. Let me just have one little comment. Here on the top of Chavava Mer Aleph, we'll have to decide, but we'll learn the whole Gemara now. There are 39 malachas on Shabbos. So one of the malachas is Zora. What is Zora? Zora v'ruch misayayta. Here it's around 9-10 lines in from the top of Chavava Mer Aleph. Hayin Zora v'ruch misayayta. What's the din of Zora? A person separates Eichel from Psolus. The Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos there are 39 malachas. There are three malachas that are practically identical. Hanazara, Hanabara, Hanamarakeit. There are three malachas where the nature of the malach is to separate the Eichel from the Psolus. So sometimes you have Eichel and Psolus mixed in together and you separate by hand or you separate, you use an instrument to separate. That's Bura. Then Marakeit is you sift the flour, and also you'll be separating pebbles. When you sift the flour, you'll be separating pebbles. You'll be separating the coarse flour. Only the sieve is so fine, only those particles of flour that are very tiny will go through. And whatever is coarser chunks of flour will remain on top. But also you're separating the oichel from the psolus. And Zora is, after you've already detached the oichel from the psolus, it grows on the ground, the oichel from the psolus, but you bang it, so you detach it, but then you want to separate it. So they would throw it up in the air, and when the wind would be blowing. So the wind would blow away the lighter part, and the heavy part will fall down where you threw it up. So the heavier part would be the kernels of grain, and the wind would blow away the psolus, which was the fluff, the fuzzy stuff on the outside. So all three are accomplishing bura, a different form of bura. So not only if you do the malocha on Shabbos b'yadayim, you did the whole malocha from A to Z all by yourself, what if you did the malocha of zora v'ruach misayato? When the wind is blowing, I throw the stuff up that where the oichon and the psolus are no longer attached together. I throw it up and the wind will blow, so the lighter part of the mixture will fly away a little bit, a foot further, and the heavy part, the kernels of grain, will fall down. So that's considered my malacha. Even though there's no malacha b'shev al tasa, malacha has to be either a maisa malacha. Usually for malchus there's a din alav shem a maisa ein loike malach. But there's no din alav shem a maisa ein misa malach. There's no such din. Let's say megadefes Hashem. He curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'peh. That's usually considered a lav shem ha-maisa. One is megadef. The Gemara says a lav shem ha-maisa ain't like a malav chutzpun v'kalach ha-der b'shem. That's one of the exceptions to the rule. The Gemara says chutzpun nishba meimer v'kalach ha-der b'shem. One makes temura, does the aver by dibur. One is v'kalach ha-der b'shem. There's also an aver ayde dibur. So the Gemara, that's an exception to the rule. Even though the aver is ayde dibur, he's still like it. So usually an avera idedibo is labeled as a lav shem amaisa. Lav shem amaisa ain't like a molov. There are three exceptions to the rule, but there is no such rule by misa, no such halacha that you can't give misa unless you have a lav shem amaisa. The God of Hashem is chayiv misa. It's not considered an exception to the rule. For misa, you don't need a maisa avera. Even if you do a lav shem amaisa, if you violate the avera, then there's misa. By malchus, there are rules. By misa, we don't have any sweeping rules. By Malkus, we have a rule. You only get Malkus because in Chumash Dvarim, we darshan smuchim. Usually in the rest of Chumash, we only darshan hekesh. Hekesh is if you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, we assume that there's a connection between the two. But smuchim means you have two dinim and two adjacent psukim. So you only darshan smuchim in Chumash Dvarim, a Mishnah Torah. So these two psukim are one next to the other. It says, lo sachsim shor b'dishoy. Is right next to the pasuk, the tzikos hatzadik, the shiros harosha, the hayon bin hakoyis harosha. So the Gemara says, which Rasha deserves to get Malkus? The one who violates an Avera that's Dumid Alav Dachasima. But they're sweeping rules. It has to be Alav Sheish Maisa. Alav Sheish Nasaris Misa Bezin shouldn't be Alav Anitik Leesei. They're a Klolim. So that's why the Rambam counts, and Bahag also counts, all the Chayvei Malkus is one mitzvah to give Malkus to the people that deserve Malkus, because it's one rule for everybody. The Bahag counts every Chayv Misa as a separate mitzvah. Mitzvah to give Misa to the Avir Abrizar, mitzvah to give Misa to the Megadish, mitzvah to give Misa to the Mechal Shabbos, each one separately. So the Rambam says, but he counts all the Malkus as one. Why does he count every single Misa as a separate mitzvah to give this one Misa, that one Misa? It should be one big mitzvah. So the Ramban Taki Council, B'yata Rami Kebecha. It's one mitzvah to give Misa to all the people who deserve Misa. That's the Ramban sheet. And the Rambam holds that you count it as four different mitzvahs. Mitzvah to give Skila to all those who deserve Skila, to give Sreifa to those who deserve Sreifa, and Chenek, and Sayef. Skila, Sreifa, Erek, Chenek are four mitzvahs. According to the Bahag, there are many mitzvahs. Every chi of Misa is another mitzvah. So the Rambam makes fun of the Bahag. Malkus, he doesn't count. The Rambam has it. There are 207 averis from the Shin Samachei Lavim, from the 365 Lavim. Many of them don't get Malkus. Only Reish Zayin, only 207 of the 365 averis get Malkus because it conforms to the rules and regulations. So how come the Baal Halachas Gedolos also is masking that you count giving Malkus to those that deserve Malkus as one mitzvah? You don't count it as 207 mitzvahs. You can't give him Malkus 207 times. Each person's right, like you won't have any room to have any more. There are only 248 mitzvahs essay. So you can't use up 207 to say all the people that get Malkus should get Malkus. You only count that as one mitzvah. Why? So the Rambam makes fun of the Bahag. Why he distinguishes. Why does he count all the Chayvei Malkus as one mitzvah? Why does he count the Chayvei Misa? Each one is a separate mitzvah. The answer is a very simple one. It's not such a strong kasha. By Malkus, there's one klal. Whoever does an avera that's dumi, the lav dachasima, gets Malkus. They have rules and regulations. So the 207 out of the 365 lavim are dumi, the lav dachasima. So they get Malkus. So it's one din. Whoever violates an avera that's similar to l'safsum shabadisha gets Malkus. But by Misa, there is no klal. There is no klal. The Torah says the Megadif is Chai Misa, or the Rabbi Zohar is Chai Misa. Chal Shabbos, Baal Eishesish, Mishkan Zohar, Chai Misa. The Torah lists off, everyone is separate. There is no sweeping klal that includes everything. That's what the post can point out. There is no klal that Alav Shem HaMaisa, there's no Misa. Alav Shem HaMaisa, there's no Malkus, but there's no such klal by Misa. But by Shabbos, Rashi writes, there is a klal. Chal Shabbos, the Mishnah Sanhedrin says, Elohein HaNiskolim, so it says, Chal Shabbos, and Rashi writes, Al Yidei Maisa. If it's Mechal Shabbos, believe Maisa, then he's not Chai. Why? That's a special din, that you can't have a Malacha B'Shev Al-Tasa. Malacha Shabbos has to be Ayidei Kumli Asay. So that's the Shaila over here. He did the Malacha B'Zara, but he had Ruach Misayaito. The wind was helping him. So that's a definition of the Malacha Zara. I'm Chai Misa because of the fact that I did the Maisa with the wind helping me. And that's Takin Kola Tarkula is also like that. So that's what Rashi and Taisa say over here. Mamayna me yisura lo yafina. That din, that by Shabbos, Zorah v'ruch misayaitai, is considered my maisa aveira, it's considered my maisa malocha. If it would have been aimed, the ruach did the malocha. I threw it up in the air when the wind was blowing, so the wind would blow the lighter thing away, and the other thing, the kernels of grain, will fall down over here. But I didn't do it myself. I did it b'siyu aruach misayaito. So that's a chiddush that the Torah says ruach misayaito. The koyach hacham yorba relates back to me. It's considered as if I did it myself. But Rashi and Taisa say you don't necessarily learn out mamona mi'isura lo yalfino. That's a klal in the Gemara. The Gemara has two klalim like that. Mamona mi'isura lo yalfino and isa mituma lo yalfino. That's a Gemara in Yevamos and Perek Mitzvahs Chalitz. It's a Gemara in Brachas and the Sugya of Kavod Abrius. Why are there these two klolim? So the Pashtus is that they quote in the Sefer Aderes Eliyahu, they quote all the things from the Vilna Gaon. that the Pasuk says in Chumash Vayikra, Kipolim Emcha Dov Al HaMishpat, it's in Parashas Shoftim, Kipolim Emcha Dov Al HaMishpat, Bein Dam Ladam, Bein Din Ladin, Bein Negel Ladin, Bein Negel Ladin, Bein Bisharecha, if there's a machloikis in town that's ripping apart the whole community, because some are observing the mitzvah one way, some are doing the mitzvah differently, you have to ask the Bez Nagodol, whatever they paskin is binding. So they quote from the Vilna Goyen, Bein dam le dam, bein din le din, bein neg le neg, I can't kill the hatar, kol gimel chelke hatar. These are the three areas of halacha. Bein dam le dam is isa veheter, whether it's dam that ases isha le bail or not. Bein din le din is dini mamas, bein neg le neg is tumah vetar. See, these are three different areas of halacha. Each area of halacha, you take all the dinim and you offer it into one big pattern. And therefore, kol ha-tarukul inyan echad. That's the notion of the Tosefta and Sanhedrin. So since all the dinim fit into one big pattern, all of dinim mamas fits into one pattern, all tumah v'tara and all isa v'heter fits into one pattern. So that's what enables us to learn that midin echad l'chaveiroi, because everything has to fit into the same pattern. We spoke the other day that you have to have kederach kedilosam by the dalad minim. It doesn't say by dalad minim kederach kedilosam. It says that atzei shitim omdim. It says it by the Karshe HaMishkan, but you learn out the Dalad Minim is learned out from the Karshe HaMishkan. What does one have to do with the other? Nothing. The answer is it's all Isa V'Heter. Everything in Isa V'Heter fits into one big pattern, one big system. But Isa Mituma Lo Yafinu, Mamayna Mitzur Lo Yafinu. Because Mamayna is a separate area, Isa V'Heter is a separate area, and Tuma V'Tar is a separate area. So that's the klal that Rashi and Tosfos are alluding to. The Gemara has that statement. Isurim mamayna lo yafinu. Isurim mamayna lo yafinu. Or mamayna be isur lo yafinu. Also not here. You can't learn out the dinim of Avodah Mamazik that he should be chayiv based on zor v'roch misayakta from the fact that by Shabbos it relates back to me. Koch achmorba relates back to me. It's my avera. Maybe that's only by Shabbos. That's in isur v'heta. Maybe by dinim mamayna you don't learn out. That's what Rashi and Tosfos both say, because Mamana mi isur lo yafinu. You can't learn now. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. And then for tomorrow, we'll have to decide where we're going to proceed. Do we have to start Chazara now, or we have enough room? We have enough room.
That's 3 weeks
until
the
Bechina. We have another 3 weeks to go. Enough time. No, it's more than enough time. More than enough time. Okay. So I'll have to figure out for tomorrow what we're going to learn. Okay, good. Stop here.